The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVB Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 280. I hope you're doing well out there, and thank you for checking out this episode. And it probably is a no-brainer what the topic is going to be on this episode. Just last week, the pro wrestling pundits DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand sat down with me, and we gave our predictions and our thoughts and our opinions on the upcoming WrestleMania event. Well, WrestleMania came and went, and now it's time for us to review what happened in Tampa, Florida at Raymond James Stadium. And we'll even talk about what the future might hold for some folks in the WWE, as Monday Night Raw this past week gave us a little bit of a hint about some of the storylines that might be happening here in the next few weeks and months. But before we get into that conversation, I do want to mention one thing that I'm really humbled to mention, and I'm very, very honored to have been selected four times for a Snobby Award. Now, if you don't know what those are, the Scene Snobs are putting together a little award show. And this Wednesday, which would be, of course, April 14th, they're going to reveal the categories. I have been alerted that I am in for those categories, and the awards are actually going to be given out Sunday, April 25th. Just go over to thescenesnobs.com to get all the details. And really, seriously, I really do appreciate it. I really feel honored to be mentioned with all of these other great podcasts that are on that network. I really had a loss for words, to be honest with you. It's a great bit of recognition from some peers, you know, because I work hard on the PVD Cast. With that, let's get on into a real quick shout out to a great sponsor. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, collectibles, back issues. Basically, they got it all for you, including one world-class pull system. So stop on over to the store, or if you're not in the Central Ohio area, just check them out online at wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search for at wgcomics. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'm joined by the pro wrestling pundits to talk about WrestleMania. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the review episode of WrestleMania. Sitting down once again with the pro wrestling pundits. Ringside Rand, how are you this evening?
Are we going to start this on time, or are we going to have a 42-minute rain delay?
No, we're going to start on time. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing wonderful. I know that John Orlando doesn't have the ham and eggers running stuff to cause there to be a 42-minute delay, so we're right on time.
That's right. Before we get into our review of WrestleMania, I want to throw this out there. DJ Joey Blaze, I know you'll find this little bit of news to be delightful as well. We heard from a friend of ours, Joey, on the last episode. He posted a comment to pvdcast.com talking about he enjoyed the episode that previewed WrestleMania. And of course, I'm talking about the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. Billy Jackson. The weirdest thing was this. I literally, not making this up, not doing this for shtick or anything, literally like a couple weeks ago, said to myself, you know, I haven't heard from Billy in a while. I hope all is well with him. And guess what? All is well with him, Joey.
Actually, I haven't seen $1 million laying around my house for a while. Maybe that'll happen.
So you think that I have some type of like Papa Shango voodoo that I can just make shit happen?
Speaking of that, I was going down the Twitter highway, and you know, you just find random stuff, and like we shared that the tag team of Greg Valentine and
Baron von Raschke,
and we find these things and this, that, and the other. I didn't realize the Godfather posted this, that he teamed with Kamala on an episode of Superstars. So could you imagine that tag team, Papa Shango and Kamala?
No, I can't.
I would book that in a heartbeat.
Man. Oh, man. Awesome stuff.
Why didn't they run with that? I would have ran all up and down with that.
Did they have a name or just the two names? There's no group talk.
They were in a match against, I think it was Warrior and Bret Hart.
Wow. I'm going to look that up on YouTube, man. I would say I'd look that up on Peacock, but they don't have anything over there in terms of the library. So, I mean, you know.
Oh, Peacock is trash.
Hey, did it go? All right. Well, let's start off with that little tidbit. Peacock, did you guys have any problems with streaming the WrestleMania?
I did not. It took me, for some reason, my account from the network disappeared. I did not know I had to restart an account on Peacock. I thought it would have already happened.
No. Joey, did you have any streaming issues with Peacock?
I had no streaming issues with my Peacock at all, no. My prostate's okay. So anyway.
I actually had it crashed for me 2 times, but it was right back up within 10, 15 seconds. It was right back up. I was surprised by that. I figured that there would be more crashing and there would be problems with the service, a la like what happened with Fastlane. All right, let's back up and let's talk about SmackDown first, because SmackDown, I guess, was the lead-in show for WrestleMania, and there were a couple of things that I wanted to talk about real quick on the SmackDown episode. So let's start off with the 3 matches that were actually on the show. We had Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode retaining their SmackDown tag team titles, defeating the Street Profits, Alpha Academy, and the Mysterios. Joey, what'd you think of this match?
I mean, it was exciting. I was, you know, I liked the way that the Dirty Dogs or whatever they're calling themselves stole the match. I didn't predict that. I just think they could have put that on one of the Manias. I don't know why it had to be on SmackDown.
Oh, exactly. I agree. Other than they wanted to pump the ratings for Fox. That was about the only reason why this happened on SmackDown. Rand, any thoughts on Ziggler and Roode retaining?
I'm pretty sure I called it last week. If this was part of WrestleMania, what would we be up to, 9 hours?
No, they just need to trim down the video packages. Look, I'm going to say this. At least for the past, I didn't watch this year, but Wrestle Kingdom. Wrestle Kingdom has usually 14, 15 matches. Yes, it's 4 hours, but it's 4 hours on the nose. They don't go over. In fact, sometimes they go under. Sometimes they're at like 3 hours and 40 minutes because they don't mess around with video packages. You get video packages for the big 2 or 3 matches, and that's it. Your 6-man, never open weight tag team match that nobody cares about, it doesn't get a package. You just get 6 guys wrestling. So I think that that's the biggest problem, Rand. That's why it's mapped out to like 4 hours apiece, because we got to have all these video packages, one after another, to remind you of how we got there. And it's not necessary.
You got to have a meeting about meetings is what you got to have. You got to take notes about the notes. Like it's just repetitive. if you haven't been watching to keep up, then you have no reason to watch that match then. So you should know why it's there. You should know why it's happening.
There should not be as many video packages as they had this weekend.
Right, exactly. You should use those for, say, for an example, getting the giant Jack in the Box out to the ring. Yes, but you don't need them for every single thing. That's the problem right there. All right, moving on with SmackDown, we saw Tamina pick up a victory by disqualification over Nia Jax in what was pretty much just a throwaway match. Do you gentlemen want to comment on it?
Pass.
Okay, there's a pass. Okay.
Does Dolph Ziggler do commercials for crickets? Because right now I'm giving you crickets.
Okay. And then what I thought would happen, Jey Uso wins the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
You called it.
I did. And but let's talk really, though, about what was fantastic on SmackDown. The promos. Daniel Bryan, Edge, Roman Reigns gave you some awesome promos. Gotta think that those weren't scripted. Rand, what did you think about the promos?
I think you're correct. Those all felt legitimate, strong, and they felt like they were exactly what they should have been. You were interested in the matches based on those promos.
As we all know, the best promos aren't scripted. They always come from the heart. And when you get those guys, and they've always said Roman does his best work when his promos aren't scripted. And that showed. And we know what Daniel Bryan can do, and we know what Edge can do. So, yeah, it lit up. It really helped sell that match. I enjoyed all three of those promos.
And I got to say, I even threw this in my notes. I like the Big E video package, you know, of him showing Tampa. This is my home. I thought that was really great, too. What a great way to get him over. Not that he needs to get over more, but that was awesome. And I even enjoyed, because it was a little bit of comedy, I enjoyed Seth Rollins's, you know, political ad, quote unquote. I thought that was really, really cool.
It felt like a political ad to me as well. I think that's what they were making fun of.
All right, let's move into night one, gents. We kick things off with Drew McIntyre taking on Bobby Lashley for the WWE Championship. Let's start with you, Joey. What'd you think of this match? And you know what? Before you give that, I should remember to tell the listeners that we are going to take a look at these WrestleMania matches. We're going to dissect them. We are also going to grade them on a scale of 5 body slams. 1 body slam not being very good to 5 body slams, which means absolutely awesome. Now, we're going to overlook the SmackDown matches because I feel like they don't have the same gravity to them, if you will. So we'll just start with our ratings on night one and night two. So, Joey, with that, I apologize. What did you think of Bobby versus Drew?
Well, I believe I called Bobby retaining, but it didn't end the way I thought it would end. I thought it was the match you're expecting. It was hard hitting, and it allowed both of them to shine in the match. I enjoyed it. I gave it 3.5 body slams.
Oh, Ran? What do you think?
I called it the other way. I was wrong. I'm going to give it 4. I thought it was it makes Lashley look awful good.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything you said, Rand. I give it 4 body slams as well. I felt that it was a hard-hitting physical match. I like that Bobby won, albeit with some chicanery. He won with the Hurt Lock. And I was surprised that they kept the belt on Lashley. So they must obviously have something in mind, but yet when we watch Raw this past Monday, it doesn't seem like anything has changed in that title picture for Bobby Lashley, does it?
Yeah, that was kind of annoying on Raw. There was no really big surprise, and it's almost like they just, like, maybe they had something in mind, but they couldn't pull the trigger on it, so they ran that 3-way. Because they didn't run that on the show for the last hour. So,
right.
So I thought maybe that they, I honestly felt like maybe they had something else in mind that just didn't come through. So that's why they went with that.
Do you think the question has to do with Keith Lee?
You mean like
he should be involved, that he was missing somehow?
Well, I was just going to say, you know, we talked last week that supposedly he was ready to come back in a couple of weeks. Is maybe, did he have a setback in his rehabilitation? And I think
if I remember correctly, and I'm not 100% sure, I think that if I remember correctly, it's a shoulder injury, I think it is.
They're being really huffed about it, which is strange.
Right. It is. It is being very, very, very.
If somebody has a knee injury or, it's a high ankle sprain or something, like there's not a lot of whatever he's got going on out there.
Right. Yeah, it just from everything that I'm looking even right now as we talk, and all they're saying is that indeed it is it's an injury and he was injured legit. But there's no like it's a bad ankle or it's a shoulder or whatever. Here's the thing that just makes me a little bit puzzled. So you have Randy Orton, you have Braun Strowman, you have Dolph trying to get to the top. And then at the very end of the show, two of the guys from the former Retribution comes out and attacks Drew. So now does that mean you're going to put Drew not in a title picture, but you're going to put him in some throwaway disposable feud with Jockstrap and G-Bar or whatever their names are? I don't care.
G-Spot.
I heard the G-Spot is imaginary.
Oh, well.
So anyways, I would have had no problem with that if they didn't come out in the Retribution gimmick.
Right.
If they would have come out as Dijakovic and Madden, like that would have been cool, right? Bring them out in suits. Make them look like they were before they put this stupid shit on. But instead, they brought them out as the old Retribution members that didn't make sense. Now, maybe they'll unveil that on Monday, but that's dumb. They should have just done it that way because we all know who it is.
Right.
So I have done it that way of taking it to another role. And if they don't lose that at all, that's just horrible.
Yeah, exactly, because that's my whole point. You talk about Retribution is over, it's done, Mustafa Ali's moved on, then why still have them in the gear? Doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
I would love to see a McIntyre-Dijakovic feud. I think that would be amazing. But McIntyre versus whatever numbnuts or whatever his name is, I'm not a fan of that at all.
No, absolutely not. All right, let's move on to the tag team turmoil match where we had all these tag teams competing. And as we get down to it, Natty and Tamina get the victory. I'm looking to see who actually picked that. And unfortunately, I don't think any of us picked it because I had Billy and Carmella. Rand had Dana and Mandy, and Joey said it was going to be a surprise team that we kind of never got.
Which, now this is what I don't understand. Like, they could have put that on SmackDown, and they could have done the four-way for the SmackDown tag titles, actually, at Mania. I think that would have been a better switch, because this was the absolute drizzle shit. I was not a fan of this match at all. Giving it one body slam to me, for Mania, it just didn't vibe with me.
This seemed like a 6:30 in the afternoon kind of match as well.
How many body slams did you give it?
Oh, I gave it one.
Gentlemen, I'm with you as well. I gave it one body slam. It was not a very good match. It was elimination style, which made it go even longer than if it was just everybody in the ring, you know, at the same time. It was not good. Tamina and Natty, Natalya, excuse me, get the victory. This match was bad. Just all the way around bad. Now let's move on into a match that we had high hopes for, and that would be Cesaro taking on Seth Rollins. I'll go first with my review. Man, oh man, first of all, that off the top rope 360 splash that Rollins did was amazing. But Cesaro picks up the victory with the swing followed by the neutralizer. I gave this five body slams, hands down. I thought this was the best match of the entire weekend.
I agree. I think it's one of the best matches of the weekend. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a title to it, and it should have been a bigger, more important deal. I think this is like the career moment for Cesaro so far, that he's got a big win at WrestleMania. But it would have been a bigger deal if it had been for a title.
I'm in agreement here, too. I'm going to give it 4.5 body slams, you know, best match of the weekend. It's nice to see Cesaro going back to his roots with some of his moves that we kind of lost in the shuffle with the tag team and, you know, like stuff like the Neutralizer kind of got put on, I guess, on the back burner, because for a while he was doing that to guys like Big Show and he was doing it to big dudes, and then it just kind of went away. So now he's using that. He's back to being the Swedish badass that he is, you know? So, yeah, that match, you mentioned the move Seth Rollins did too.
Yeah.
It was definitely, sorry, I mean to cough there, but yeah, I definitely enjoyed that. That definitely had to be, if not match the weekend, there's like a 1A and 1B somewhere on there.
Now, so the question is, we've talked about it, Cesaro's got the WrestleMania win. Where does he go from here? What are you guys' thoughts?
I think Cesaro should be should have a good IC or U.S. title run. I think maybe he could even have challenging and hopefully get a world championship out of this. This should be a springboard, like the Andre the Giant match that he won that wasn't a springboard.
I would like to see him continue this into a feud with Reigns, because I don't know what they're going to do with Edge. I would assume he's kind of washed his hands with Daniel Bryan. And you keep kind of keep him and Nakamura together, but not as a tag team. And Nakamura feuds with Uso. So you could see maybe a tag match of Cesaro and Nakamura against Reigns and Uso, and then leading to maybe a match at one of the pay-per-views, not at a big one like a SummerSlam, but leading up, maybe you'll see a Cesaro versus Reigns, which I think could be a tremendous match between the two of them.
I would second that, Joey. I think we're going to probably see maybe another match or two between Seth Rollins and Cesaro, which is great, because if it's the quality of this one, yes, please. I can see what Rand, I agree with you 100%. A nice run with the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title would be great. I'm talking like a really nice long run. Okay, maybe not Walter long, but nonetheless, still, you know, a long run with one of those belts, fending off every possible challenger to make him look good. I could also see him being somebody that goes with Roman Reigns for a few months. I don't think they ever put the world title on him. I think that's just not in the cards for whatever reason. But yeah, I could see both of those happening with Cesaro.
Is it because he doesn't have a great personality?
Yes. I think that he does not have the mic work to be a world champion, I think. He would need a mouthpiece.
You know, he had Paul Heyman at one point, and they didn't.
Exactly. That would be a great guy for That would be a great guy for Malcolm Bivens to have. You know, Cesaro and Malcolm Bivens, I think, would work really, really well. One that's super serious, the other one that's always joking around.
I would like to see Michael Bivens from Boys to Men in the WWE. I think that would be nice. Oh, no, Velvet DeVoe.
Yeah, I was going to say he's from Velvet DeVoe. You were wrong on your 90s R&B acts.
I was just seeing if Rand was paying attention.
That's okay. Hey, look, we all know there's no better tag team than KC and JoJo. Hashtag fact. Anyways, moving on. Speaking of tag teams, we have the Raw tag team titles on the line. The New Day defending against AJ Styles and Omos, I think is how it's pronounced. Joey, what'd you think of this match?
Duke. It's what we thought it would be. That term's been thrown around, but we knew Omos wasn't going to go in and put on a clinic of suplexes and, you know, chain wrestling. We know what he's there to do. We know what he is. You know, our good friend, Mr. Justin Dortch, said he's worse than Giant Gonzalez. Nothing's worse than Giant Gonzalez. So, the dude wore a bodysuit with hair on it. Okay, so there's nothing worse than that. But it was pretty bad. I still think he has potential. If the Giant Khali, the great Khali, can get into the WWE Hall of Fame, there's hope for Omos. So let's put that out there. But I knew they were going to take it off the New Day. I just don't know why they take it off and put it on. Take it off and put it on. Like, let's the shitter get off the pot with these guys, too. I don't know where they're going with this either, because if they break them up, meaning Omos and AJ Styles, what a horrible match that would be for AJ Styles.
Agreed.
Going to be interesting. And then also, why in the blue hell weren't they on Raw? They just won the tag titles. Just everything revolving around this, I mean, just stunk. Except, I mean, they did the New Day did the best they could do to make them look good.
All right. Well, my two cents worth on it.
I'll give it 1.5 body slams just because it was better than the women's tag match.
Okay. Rand, what say you?
I used to think the worst finishing move was Hogan's leg drop, but now almost standing on somebody is just as bad. Your finishing move shows you what you are. And if standing on somebody is your finishing move, you're not much of a wrestler.
How many body slams?
Just one.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to be the nice guy. I'm giving it 2 body slams. Because again, I thought absolutely what you, I agree with you, Joey and Rand. It was what we thought it was going to be. But my thing that I was puzzled by is it seemed that the fans were popping for Omos. Like at the end, like when he got the hot tag, they popped. And then when he was in there doing whatever it was he was doing, they still seemed to cheer him. So I'm just like, though I know I predicted that AJ would turn on him in this match, I have a feeling that they're going to do that somewhere down the road. But in the meantime, I don't know. Who do you put the New Day back in a series of matches with these two, or do you get another tag team to go? Because, I mean, obviously, I think the big, quote, surprise, end quote, one of them on Raw was the return of the Viking Raiders. So do you go with the Viking Raiders versus AJ and Omos for the next couple of months? What do you guys think?
I would say I think you're going to see that feud. I also think you're going to see a feud where Strowman teams up with somebody. So you have a giant versus a giant type of gimmick to take them on. So I think those are the next two feuds. I don't think you're going to see the New Day really. They might get a rematch, but I don't think they're going to do too much more with them. I think you're going to see new, fresh matches on the horizon. Now, are any of these guys going to be able to make them look better? I don't know. I make Omos look better. That's hard to tell, but I think they're going to be kind of done with the New Day, in my opinion. You're going to see some new, fresh matchups.
Funny, Joey. I was thinking that, too. I really was. Braun Strowman teaming with somebody, you know, in a makeshift tag team. I really thought about that, too. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. I mean, he's got to have something to do because, well, since we're talking about him, our next match was Braun Strowman taking on Shane McMahon in the steel cage. So, Rand, what do you think about Shane O'Mac's performance against the Strowman Express?
I think one of the most unique moments of the weekend was when Braun ripped the cage apart. I think that was something we've seen dozens of cage matches, but this is the first time somebody ripped the cage apart. And I think that was something special. And I think that was the highlight of the match. It was just something so unique.
But yet, Joey, he didn't throw anybody through that weakened part of the steel cage.
That was my prediction. I know, but they showed a feat of strength. And here's the thing: I'm tired of Braun Strowman being used as an attraction. I want to see him get an actual title run because he's supposed to be this big bad monster. Do something with him. He has a personality. He doesn't always they portray him in the wrong way. I think there's other things they could do, and I think he's a lot better in the ring than what he gets credit for, too, for his size.
Do you think he's limited? Why haven't they? Does he have backstage heat?
I beat him to other stuff, but they keep wanting to go back to this, ah! He doesn't have to be, because they want him to, it's like that Andre the Giant, there's never going to be another Andre. So people need to get that through their head. But go ahead and do something with him and let him run with it. He had a great feud going on with Lashley, and then they switched him to SmackDown a year or so ago. Remember when they went through the Titantron?
Yes, I do.
And then that feud ended. Like, I thought that would have been a better challenger for Lashley than having Drew McIntyre do it again. It's just like they just keep him right there. They don't take him all the way to the top of the stairs. They just keep him right there at that stair and just tease him. You can't get up here. Or like when Borat says, no, he says his wife, no, you can't get none, you know, so whatever. It's just like one of those, like he's right there at the precipice and they can't, like they can't push him through it. It's really annoying to me. I'm sorry. That's a huge soapbox I get upset about. But as far as body slams, I enjoyed it. I still think it could have been more. So I gave it 3.5 body slams.
Rand, what was your rating?
I gave it 3.
Oh,
I, I thought it could have been more.
Well, I'm right along with you guys. I gave it 2.5 body slams. I felt that it was what it was. And I felt like Shane's bump, while don't get me wrong, I'm sure it hurt like hell. I'm sure it wasn't pleasant to do. But he's done worse. So I kind of was like, it's kind of a little bit of a letdown. If we're all waiting for the big giant, you know, bump, eh, that's what you're giving us, Shane? Eh, I don't know. I'm a jerk for thinking that.
I think it's time we find a new Shane, and it's time for Shane to hang that up.
I agree. All right, let's move on to probably what I might go out on a limb and say was the biggest surprise of the weekend. And that was the Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeated The Miz and Morrison. And what do you know? Bad Bunny, he ain't too bad in the ring, is he?
I was very impressed. There were several moves that he did that you could tell that he was using his time wisely. He wasn't just showing up for vignette before Raw. He was in there. He's training in that ring they probably have in the back, and he was doing his thing. That was the Super Destroyer. What's that? What's the flip power with the flip pile driver? What's that called? I always forget the name.
It's the Canadian Destroyer.
Canadian Destroyer, right? Made famous by Petey Williams. Mm-hmm. I thought that was Petey Williams delivering that. It was crisp. It was good when he did that on the outside. I really enjoyed the match. It served the purpose of what type of match that was supposed to be too. I gave it 3.5 body slams.
I also wrote down the Canadian Destroyer was amazing, but to me, I think Bad Bunny, he sold. To me, that put me in the zone of being invested in this match. He sold.
Right.
I mean, what do you know? That still works in 2021. You know, I think my only knock about this match was this. If this was also, we know what it was. It was to get a lot of eyes on WrestleMania. That's why we have Bad Bunny. But if you were also trying to showcase Damian Priest, I think you didn't do a very good job of doing that. But with that being said, I gave it 3 body slams.
I think Priest did pretty well, but since we had such low expectations for Bad Bunny, what he did was more impressive. I think this is probably one of the best celebrity matches ever. I mean, he did some impressive stuff. I thought the heels controlled the action. The Bad Bunny was great. I think a couple of the dives that Bad Bunny did were impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was one of the best celebrities ever. I don't know his background, but you would think some of the athletes that we've had over the years, the Dennis Rodman, the Karl Malones, he did more than any of those guys did. He was impressive. They said that he worked hard when he was at the Performance Center, and it showed. I'm giving it 4 body slams.
One of the things, too, they've been on a decent string of having these celebrity guests, like Pat McAfee. Are you kidding me? He looked really good in NXT.
Yeah.
And he had a great dance partner. That makes a difference, too, when you have good dance partners.
Mm-hmm.
You had Miz and you had Morrison.
And think a few years prior to that, you had Stephen Amell at WrestleMania, and that was a pretty good match, too. Granted, he was in the ring with Cody Rhodes, a.k.a. Stardust. So, yeah, I mean, right. Again, they're on a streak. I think – still right now, I'm putting Pat McAfee at number 1, and I'm saying Bad Bunny's probably number 2 on that list, and Amell is 3 to round out my best celebrity wrestling people, if you will. It's time for main event time. It is Bianca Belair getting the victory and winning the Women's SmackDown Championship from Sasha Banks.
I think we knew this was going to be a good match, and it was. I think it's one of the best. I think we've got a lot of great athletes. Both are great athletes. I think the personalities are there. I have no trouble with the women's match being the main event for the night. That it lived up to it. I'm giving it 4 stars.
I thought it was going to be a solid match because you got Sasha. You know, Belair's been putting in the time and the effort. So you know they were all about it. So you know, but it still exceeded my expectations. I gave it 4.5 body slams. It was a lot better than what I thought it would be, too. And I had decent expectations for it, but it just – and then that whip with the hair, holy crap, that was loud. and I hate the hair, but that spot was pretty cool. So overall, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great way to close out the first night of Mania and to send it off on a high note.
Look, I thought this match was good. I really did. I gave it 3 body slams. I just, for some odd reason, I just wasn't engaged with it. I don't know why. It was a good match. It was solid. I got nothing against it in terms of the story that they told or the psychology or whatnot. I don't know. I just wasn't into it. There was nothing that really pulled me in. I gave it 3 body slams.
You would have rather seen it a good housekeeping match?
No, I would. No, no. I just, like, I feel like Drew and Lashley was very good. I felt like this tag match that we just had prior to it was really good. I just felt like, I don't know. It just, to me, there was just, I can't explain it. There was nothing in it that really hooked me, I guess.
Is there any chance of being 11:15 at night?
That could have been it. You're absolutely correct on that. You know, no, again, 42 minute delay because of rain. You can't do anything much about that, you know. But
probably, yeah. When you're watching women on TV at 11:15 at night, let's be honest, they probably don't have clothes on. So I agree with Rand. It probably has something to do with the timing.
Well, hey, you know, it's the only time that Busty Cops 9 is on is at 11:15 at night on a Saturday. So,
and that's a whole other story because it didn't tie into Busty Cops 8. It really annoyed me. They put a brunette instead of a, I don't know. We'll talk about that on a different podcast.
That's right. I mean, we'll talk about that. Yes, indeed. All right. Hey, before we move on to night 2, guys, I got to interrupt our conversation for just a moment to talk about World's Greatest Comics. You hear me talk about it all the time. You heard Joey mention it last episode, that it is the one-stop shop for all of your comic-related needs. I mean, single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles. They have literally thousands of back issues. So if you need maybe just a single issue of Green Lantern to complete a run, they probably got it, all right? So all you got to do is you got to go over to the store. If you're in the Central Ohio area, they're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not here in Central Ohio, you can find them online, wgcomics.com. They're even on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And hey, if you want to be old school, you can even pick up a phone and give them a call. I know, that's crazy, isn't it? I mean, who calls anybody anymore? Phone number
is 614. Does it have to be a landline?
It does not have to be a landline, Rand. No, it can be your cellular device. 614-891-3000 is the phone number. Once again, World's Greatest Comics. You got to go visit the shop, whether you do it online or you do it in person. Trust me, if you're a comic book geek, you will not be disappointed.
Do they take calls from flip phones?
Yes, from flip phones even. Yes, Rand. Even the phone that might be in your shoe if you're Maxwell Smart.
Wow, you're going after our key demographic, huh, of 75-year-old males.
Yes, I am. All right, let's talk about night 2. Man, there's nothing quite like turning on your TV and seeing Titus O'Neil and Hulk Hogan dressed as pirates. I'll just leave that comment there.
Why do we even have hosts for this, let alone these two?
That's a great question. An absolutely fantastic question, Rand.
Instead of these two, maybe Maria Menounos or Logan Paul would have been better used in that case.
Well, I mean, how else are we supposed to repair Hogan's image? You know, let's have him out there with a Warrior Award-winning African-American fellow because, you know, we'll help Hulk out a little bit. Let's move on to our first match, which is, of course, Randy Orton sporting white trunks. I don't think I've ever seen that before. Taking on the Fiend.
Yeah,
taking on the Fiend, who is transformed back to his regular outfit. I'll start off by saying I did not appreciate the red lights back. We got away from that. I don't like that. Stupid. I did chuckle at the fact that Michael Cole apparently didn't realize that there was a giant jack-in-a-box right there at ringside, the way he played it off. I'm like, dude, it's right there. Don't insult my intelligence. You've seen it. It also made me want to make the joke from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, who wants to play with a Charlie in a box? Anyways.
You're going after that key demographic, huh, John?
Still going next for it, man.
Leave that murder she wrote for another podcast, brother.
All right. Anyways. Alexa appears out of nowhere with Papa Shango like ooze, which distracts the Fiend, and then an RKO and a victory. I gave this a one body slam. I expressed my disgust for this storyline to just go away. It gets a one body slam.
I looked, as I said, and I talked to the missus as I'm watching WrestleMania Night 2, and I look at her, and we love old Lexi Kaufman, Alexa Bliss. We think she's awesome, and she was honestly the best part of the match. But I looked at her, I go, there's no way, right, that this can be worse than their last WrestleMania match, which had videos of snakes in the ring. No, it was way worse than that match. This is supposed to be somebody that you can't be defeated. You caught him on fire, you murdered him, and you beat him with one RKO. What in the blue hell is that? It made zero sense. The writer or the agent for that match needs to be Future Endeavor. This is not the way to end that feud. Also, they missed a hell of a way to bring back Aleister Black. If you're going to do this, you're going to turn on him. Why not have somebody to turn on him? And who's more devil-like that they have on the roster than Aleister Black? They missed the boat on that. They could have taken that and turned this one star into three or three and a half just by the story, telling the story right in the damn match. It got one body slam for me too. It was bullshit.
Yeah, and I hated how Randy just kept going back to, I'm going to do the hanging DDT. Yeah, what, four times? Jesus, it was terrible. Rand, sorry, your turn.
I think this should have been a cinematic match. This was a major letdown. This is the worst match of the entire weekend.
They didn't want to do a cinematic match, Rand, because they're all about their Smiley fans in the crowd.
But if any match is going to be cinematic, it would have been this one. They had exactly a prop that they barely used. They take a big box out there and they crank it, and the guy comes out on top. then at the end, they put Alexa Bliss, who's the best character in the whole feud, and they have her dripping from the crest of her forehead. Did they not want to use red for blood? They used black as she was melting, like somebody poured water on her. It was a mess. This was a horrible way to end the 6 month feud. This was not WrestleMania quality.
Well, the best part too that I liked that bit about the whole thing is that Ryan Cabrera helped design her ring or her entrance gear at the beginning of the match. That's the best part to me. Horrible.
I'm sorry, Rand. Just when you said crank, I don't know why the 14-year-old in me couldn't stop laughing. Anyways.
Is that our other demographic, 14-year-olds that use the word crank?
Yeah, that's it. Rand, how many body slams did you give this one?
I want to make it one really thin one.
Okay. All right, let's move on. We got women's tag team titles are on the line as Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler take on Natalya and Tamina. Rand, what did you think of this match?
I pretty much knew that Natalya was going to have a lot of work to do. Tamina's horrible. Jax is horrible. Shayna's probably above average. Natalya is really good, but unfortunately she gets stuck with a lot of crud around her. You look back at all the different tag team partners she has, she deserves better than what she's been given. Having said all that, it wasn't a very good match. I just gave it one and a half.
Rand, first of all, I can't believe you think Natalya hasn't had great storylines like the one where she was just farting all the time. That gets you over, I'm sure. Joey, what's your thoughts on this match?
This is supposed to be a tag team title match. You're supposed to be excited about the match. It's for the titles. The only thing I was worried about is where the hell is Reginald?
Oh, yeah, he wasn't there.
He wasn't at ringside. Where the hell is he? They didn't explain it, I don't think.
I don't think you have mentioned.
That was interesting because, once again, we're going to serve you a plate of drizzle chips for the low price of $4.99 a month. And that's what they did today. I don't get their obsession with Nia Jax. I would like to see her fight Nia Jax versus Nyla Rose, and they both fall into the ocean and they die.
Now, you can't wish death upon people.
No, their wrestling careers die. Can I say that?
Okay. Yes, you can.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't get it. I don't get the fascination. It's the same thing. I don't get fascinations with that. And I'll be sexist for a minute. You're talking about a guy who kind of likes bigger girls. And it's just, I don't know what they're doing with these girls can't move. Nia Jax, I don't know if she knows where the bodies are hidden or what. The tag team's horrible. They need to take the tag straps off of them. Why the hell they don't put the Iconics back together? It baffles me. I gave this match a half a body slam because I'm just tired of the crap that they're carting out to us.
I gave it one body slam. I thought that it was not a very good match. It was way too long. Like, that was problem number one of many. Yeah, this I've not been a fan of this team of Jax and Shayna. And here's the thing: there's no other tag teams on the main roster, and there are no other tag teams in NXT. If you look at the women's tag team division in NXT, again, it's just a bunch of people thrown together. It's spare parts tag teams, so it's not going to get any better for the next couple of years. You think, oh, we're gonna call some people up from NXT, and they can compete for the WWE women's tag title. It's just going to be more of the same. It's just going to be more of the same.
Constant formula of we hate real tag teams, let's just throw people together because they always put that stuff on the back burner. You had a perfect opportunity. So you have Tamina and you have Natty. Natty being a third-generation superstar, Tamina being a second-generation superstar, push that. Hey, their dads founded WrestleMania. This is a big deal. Like, push that angle. Mm-hmm. Push that story. Give mm-hmm. them a reason to have an emotional attachment to want to win these tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
They use the heart attack as a finisher. So why not try and tie that stuff in? Yes, we know who these people are, but why not try and say that, you know, the lineage of WrestleMania, that their fathers were both big deals when it came to WrestleMania, or their, you know, uncles or their grand, you know, like push
yeah,
that.
No,
I don't think
yeah.
there was enough of that. They could have told that story and it would have helped build this match up more. Instead, they just carted them out there and said, hey, here you go. And no, it just didn't work. That's why I gave it a half a body slam. That was an inside cradle at most.
All right. Rand, were you going to chime in with something there real quick?
Does Nicole Foley still wrestle? Because maybe she could have a match with Tamina dads did.
Noelle Foley? No, she's had a concussion for a full calendar year. And I'm not making that up. Like, I don't even know. How do you have a concussion for a full calendar year? How is that possible? All right, our next match is Kevin Owens taking on Sami Zayn. Joey, let's start with you. What did you think of this match?
I don't think you'd ever go wrong when you put these two guys together. I mean, when you have friends that are able to put on a match, I thought it did well. I really wasn't big in the build of it. I mean, you don't need to have a build, but I think they should have played on that even more, this friendship. I don't think they played enough on it. Like you said, they spend all this money and time on these videos to talk about why they're fighting, but I don't think that story was told enough either. Putting that aside, though, I still enjoyed the match. I liked because I think it was one of their more competitive matches in WWE, because unfortunately, Sami Zayn has kind of not been able to be when he wrestles Owens, and WWE always kind of, not squash, but it was always, seems like matches that I've watched in the past three, two. So he got all his stuff in. It was enjoyable. And then Logan Paul bit a stunner at the end, which he took it horribly, but it was awesome to see. He deserved more. I gave this match 3.5 body slams. I enjoyed it.
Well, I think Sami Zayn is the character who looks like he believes in conspiracy theories. That's just him. That's his role. He's been that way for a long time. Only in today's environment would somebody like Logan Paul qualify as a celebrity. I don't see any talent. I don't see any value. And I think he took the stunner horribly because he's not a wrestler. I'm not even sure what his role was in this. the chemistry between those two workers is phenomenal. We know that. The exploding suplexes, the vertical suplexes on the apron. My God, taking it on the apron is incredible. I'm right there with DJ Joey. I'm giving a 3.5. I think it was a really good match. But we knew it would be.
Okay. Here I come in. I've made one controversial statement already, not liking a match. And here we go. We're going to make a second one. Yeah, I gave this match 2 body slams. I wasn't really a big fan of it. To me, and maybe if they had built it up more, maybe I wouldn't have graded it that way. But to me, there was no psychology. To me, it was big move after big move after big move after super indie match. And I didn't dig it. I didn't get connected to it. So I'm sticking with my 2 body slams.
Yeah, but I think that if you take it out and you put it where it's at, how many times have you seen them wrestle in the past, John?
Oh, lots of times. Lots of times.
And you can't really, in the WWE, you really can't put your thoughts on their past matches and compare it to this, because it's not a fair comparison, I guess, is a kind of a way to look at it, because it's two different styles. So the psychology, I agree, it wasn't there as it could have been, but you can't have much psychology when it's just like, hey, we're going to have a fight. So that's what I was talking about. If they'd have built it a little bit better, then you could have had a little bit better psychology. But for what it was, for them just going out there and doing it up, that's why I gave it the 3.5.
Okay. All right. Well, let's move on to a match that, to be honest with you, I thought was much better than it should have been. And that is the U.S. title being on the line as Matt Riddle defended against Sheamus. Sheamus surprisingly picking up the victory. I gave this 3.5 body slams because I thought this was, number one, hard-hitting. It was very physical. I felt that the moonsault into the brogue kick was a hell of a spot. Though, I have to confess, I'm not too sure why they put the belt on Sheamus. Let's start with you, Ran. What did you think of this match?
Yeah. I'm not really sure if I'm a big Riddle fan. I like the character more than I do his ability. Maybe I'm just bothered by the bare feet or something. I don't know. I think it was a really good match. I'm giving a 3.5. I just can't really get excited over Sheamus either. I mean, these guys had an awful lot of you can top this back and forth. I mean, Riddle kicked out of a bro kick, which I thought was right on the bunny. And what was the other move called? A bro, Derek?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's Riddle's, one of his finishers.
Yeah, I think Riddle's probably one of the best high flyers working right now, isn't he?
Well, see, I think, and we talked about this last week, I think that they're trying to push this character of Matt Riddle being a super dumbass instead of being, you know, like the laid back badass that he kind of is. I mean, Joey, what were your thoughts on the match real quick?
A couple of things. I popped with, even though it wasn't that good of a promo or whatever vignette in the back with Rob Van Dam, a Rob Van Dam tag team with him would be amazing, right? Matt Reynolds, Rob Van Dam tag team. That would be really cool. Call it High Times, whatever you want to do, you know. So I liked that I got that. I thought that was neat. I personally like this match a lot more than I thought I would. Matt Riddle really, it was a little bit of a coming out for him, because he's always been more of a striker in my opinion. And I think he's keeps developing more technically is what I've been noticing. I could give two shits about Sheamus, but they really beat the snot out of each other. And I gave it 3.5 body slams. I enjoyed it. But then the thing I've thought, as soon as they put the belt on Sheamus, is transitional, because Keith Lee was supposed to win that belt, and then they said they gave it to Riddle. So I look at it and I say transitional in my mind. I still think that's what it's going for. But it was a surprise ending, but it was definitely a good match.
So what do you think happens with Riddle? Because then on Raw, just a few days ago, Riddle was on. He took on Bobby Lashley. Is Matt Riddle a possible main eventer?
I don't think he's ready for that yet. I think it's something that he could probably get put in that position just because of the fan base.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really, I mean, that's a thing. fans like that stoner type of attitude. They're really into him. I don't think they need to keep pushing this dumbass gimmick over. Like, just stick with what he is. They like it. People mm-hmm. like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he can. And I think as he develops more technically, I think in a couple years, I just because of his look, because of the fan base, and he can talk. He's really surprising me. He can talk. I see him being a main eventer in a few years.
Rand, any thoughts on Matt Riddle, or shall we move on to our Intercontinental title match?
No, I'm good.
Okay. We have the Nigerian drum match, Apollo Crews taking on Big E. The IC title is on the line. And Joey, you go ahead first. What did you think about this match?
Well, we found out what the Nigerian drum fight was. So there's that.
There's that, yes.
It was interesting. I'll tell you what, it's another match that we got more out of it than I thought we would have. I enjoyed the whole match. The ending, maybe not so much with the repackaging of Babatunde, Manabadu, whatever his name is. But I don't like the accent, but I like the Apollo Hill character. Because we've had discussions with friends, oh, he could never be part of the Hurt Business. Couldn't they get all these smiles? He's running with this gimmick, and I think if there's anybody on the roster that can work and work like crazy that deserves a run at the IC title, it is Apollo. I'm surprised to see him take it off of Big E. After you talk about they have this promo, he's in Tampa, they do all that. Like, I thought maybe Apollo could maybe get it at a lesser pay-per-view. So I was really surprised by the ending. But I enjoyed the match. It's another 3.5 body slams for me.
Rand, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm surprised that, that Big E loses in his hometown. I think Crews can be something. You're right. You can't instantly get an accent or instantly lose an accent.
The like first time Lana.
Yeah, Lana's lost several things.
Okay. Carry on.
I think there were some big bumps there. I think that they're moving. I think Big E's going to go after Roman Reigns eventually. When you lose a title like this and you're moving up in many ways, when you lose the IC title, you can go after the world title next. I think he could have some really good matches with Roman Reigns. I'm still not sure what the gimmick match was. I mean, the Nigerian drum match, I don't see ever having enough one. I thought it was three body slams.
I went two body slams. I felt like you hyped up this Nigerian drum match and it was nothing more than a weapons match, but it didn't seem like there was a lot of plunder used. I also did not like Daba Kato interfering, though I give him props. He used the Oriental Spike, the taped up thumb a la Terry Gordy. So I popped for that. And I don't know. I just, the repackaging of Daba Kato leaves a little to be desired because we just saw him a few months ago at Raw Underground. So just say his name, say who he is.
Yeah, we're not at all surprised. And who is this guy? We freaking know who it is, dumbass.
Yeah, I know. It's not 1987 when Barry Windham returns and you can pretend that he never was a tag team champion. All right, but I digress. Let's move on. We have the next women's match, which, of course, is for the WWE Women's Championship on Raw. It is Rhea Ripley winning the belt over Asuka. I'm going to go ahead. I'll start first here. I gave this 4 body slams. I thought this was a really good match. At times, maybe it was a little sloppy, but I thought it was really good. I like that they allowed Rhea Ripley to get the clean victory with the Riptide out of nowhere. I hope they protect that finisher, and that's something that she does is, you know, get that Riptide out of nowhere, like the RKO or like the DDT with Jake Roberts. I think that would be a really cool storyline to build around. And I really, really enjoyed this match.
So every time she uses that Riptide, does she have to pay Rip Malibu royalties?
Maybe. I don't know.
If she'd have came out and crushed Purple Velvet, I would have not known what to do. Anyway, so my main takeaway is, first of all, I enjoyed this match. Like I said, there were some sloppy spots, and I think that was maybe lost in a little bit of the translation, too. When you have two workers that aren't used to working each other, there's some stuff going on there. I was just amazed on how the crowd was not into this match when I thought they would have been more. Like the huge pops for Rhea early, but there seemed to be a little bit of downtime during this match, which was weird to me because I thought it was a hot match all around. I also would give a 4 body slams, but I'm surprised that they switched both women's titles like that. That just sticks out like a sore thumb to me as well, because I think Rhea looks good with the belt, and I think Bianca's better chasing the belt. That's just because the personalities and who they are. Eventually, I would have liked to have seen Bianca have a longer story arc to get it, where it makes sense when you have this badass come in, and it really puts her over because you're putting her over on Asuka. And this also sets up a feud for returning Becky Lynch, I think, too, which is nice. So, all in all, I think it's a great move, and I enjoyed the match. Like I said, 4 body slams.
Man, I think the world of Rhea Ripley. I think she's one of the best. I think she's got a great look. She's extremely physical. I think she can do a lot. She's tenacious. I think Asuka's a wrecking ball throwing her body around. I'm surprised, not that Ripley won, but both women, Bianca Belair and Ripley won. I thought it'd be one or the other. Like DJ said, I didn't think they'd change both of them. I think Ripley can have some great matches. She had a great match last year at WrestleMania against Charlotte Flair. When you beat Asuka, you deserve a lot of credit. She's only lost, 3 or 4 matches on TV in a couple of years?
I believe that would be correct.
You get a lot of points for beating Asuka. I think it was a great match. I'm giving a 4, 4.5. It was a great surprise to me. I think Rhea can go a long ways. 24 years old?
Yeah, she's not very old at all. I think she's like 24 or 25. And, you know, we see now, thanks to Monday Night, the direction they're going, it looks like that Charlotte Flair returns, and it looks like there's going to be some type of maybe triple threat type of matchup between these three, which, you know, I mean, we asked about Charlotte. My only gripe about Charlotte returning is I wish they would have just gone full blast, like work shoot, you know, like her just start laying into the WWE medical staff and how they're idiots and they say they misdiagnose stuff and just do it upright. You know what I mean?
Do you think... Charlotte could have gone heel ripping the authorities?
Well, that's a good question, because maybe people would have popped for that. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with Asuka, Ripley, and, of course, Charlotte. One person that we haven't talked about, and I know this is probably going to cause another rant from Joey, is Bayley. Bayley really, throughout the entire weekend, had nothing to do other than try to pimp her talk show. And she interrupts Hulk and Titus and Eric Bischoff, and then another time she interrupted all the legends and she got beat up by the Bellas, which my friend Adam Michaels pointed out. So that's two faces taking on a heel. How is that face behavior? Great question. Joy, let's hear it. What'd you think about the way Bayley was utilized for this WrestleMania?
What horrible, ridiculous use of such a talent that you have that she's apparently healthy. I do not understand it. I do not get it. I thought it would be cool, even though she's not on Raw. You could have changed that into a four corners match with her and Charlotte in that match. Like, there's things you could have done to include her. This talk show thing is stupid. I'm sorry you're not a young Sally Jesse Raphael.
I kind of thought the way she was doing that, interrupting people, that she would have a guest. Whether it was a surprise return of Becky Lynch or maybe Charlotte. I thought they were going somewhere with it other than her just being annoying.
And they could have. A lost opportunity. That's where you could have had that surprise tag team. It had made no sense, but had Bayley and Charlotte in that match. You could have done something like that. Instead, you have women that can go. One is nowhere to be found on the show, and the other is... What's the other lady? I'm trying to think of the other lady talk show. She used to have the bob haircut. Oh, my God. I can't think of her name.
I hope you're not thinking of Ricky Lake.
No. Jenny Jones.
Yes. You got
Jetty Jones Jr., right? Like, I don't give two shits about that. I give a shit about Bailey doing what she's there to do.
I thank you, Joey, for keeping it in that 70-year-old demographic. I appreciate that with the Jenny Jones reference.
That was the goal of me saying that.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right, let's talk about the main event. Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan versus Edge. Edge also in all white, by the way. I enjoyed the yes lock and the crossface at the same time. I thought that was pretty awesome. I was surprised that they kept the belt on Roman Reigns. I really, really like this match. I gave it 5 body slams. Joey, what did you think?
Let me give you my inner Phil Donahue. I mean, since we're going to talk about all these talk show hosts. Anyway, I love this match. I really did. I'm not a big Ed fan, and I'm a Daniel Bryan fan. I've never been a Roman Reigns fan, but when he did the S-lock with the part from the chair, I thought that was really cool. It was hard-hitting. It told a great story. I wasn't too keen on the ending, meaning I would have rather seen the other Uso come out or seen somebody else. It's been a cool thing to do with Samoa Joe because he's Samoan too or something, but not Jey Uso because he was kicked out. So if you would have had a different person in that, it would have taken it to a whole nother level for me, I think. With the ending, but I enjoyed it. I gave it 4.5 body slams. I couldn't give it a 5 just because of how that part of the ending was just weird to me. And I don't even remember what I predicted. I think I might have predicted Reigns going over.
You agreed with me. We both picked Edge.
Oh, we both picked Edge. Okay, I couldn't remember what. And then he would beat him down the road. So right. Obviously, this is just to build the Reigns character. But where it goes from here is going to be interesting, right? Because, you know, Edge isn't an everyday guy. And Daniel Bryan's going to – he's not an everyday guy, really. And he's going to kind of face it. Who steps up next? And that's going to be an interesting part to see on where they go. Big E was mentioned or, you know, some other guys. So I think it moved forward. It ended their storyline perfectly. And it's going to move forward to see – interesting to see where all this goes next.
Okay, it's not realistic, and it would never happen, but the best ever possible scenario to the end of this match would have been Roman Reigns grabbing a hold of somebody, either Daniel Bryan or Edge, and the place would have exploded if The Rock had come out and given a rock bottom to somebody and Roman Reigns wins. Unrealistic would have been the best possible scenario ever.
Well, what'd you think about the match overall?
I liked a lot of it. I think it was, you know, it's really hard to do 3-way matches. And this is one of the best 3-way matches I've seen in a long time. We had all these scenarios about either Edge or Daniel Bryan winning it. And like the first match of Saturday night, the bad guy looks like even more of a bad guy. Lashley looks more of a bad guy. And Roman ended the show looking like more of a bad guy. I give it 4.5 body slams.
All right. Yeah, I agree with what we're talking about here in terms of where does Roman Reigns go next. Joey, you said, you know, there's a pretty much an untapped plethora of people you could pick. Big E or Cesaro or whatnot. It will be interesting to see where they go in terms of that direction. And, of course, this Friday we'll get a little bit of a clue when Fox airs SmackDown on Friday. So maybe that picture becomes a little bit clearer as to who's going to challenge for that Universal title. So, guys, we've gone incredibly long, so let's wrap things up here. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the internet?
I'm easy to find on the Twitter machine at DJ Joey Blaze.
All right. Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
I'm on that twitter.com/RandDittmar, RandDittmar.
All right. Well, gentlemen, thanks for stopping by again. And when SummerSlam rolls around, we'll be doing this again. So thanks again. Appreciate you guys coming on. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'll throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, also known as the Pro Wrestling Pundits, chatting with me about what we thought about WrestleMania and what the future might hold for those in WWE land. And maybe you agree with some of our opinions and some of our thoughts, and maybe you don't agree. Well, express yourself. Let me know what you think. You could do that a couple different ways. First, you could shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @pvdcast. And you can find me on Twitter. My personal handle is @pvdmvp. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know about this great podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues where it's available. First off, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is a great place to listen, but is also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. Just go to that platform search engine, type in the PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it. I don't know why. It's the internet. But anyways, you should be able to find it. And when you listen to an episode, if you will, please rate and review. That helps me out in the algorithm. And subscribe so you never miss an episode. And there's even a couple of cool Facebook broadcasts as well. Every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I do a Facebook broadcast through the Facebook page of the PVDcast. And even Sundays at 7 p.m. Eastern time through the Scene Snobs Facebook page, there's a broadcast as well. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't mention thescenesnobs.com. That's where you can get all the information about the PVDcast broadcasts or any broadcasts of any of the great podcasts that are on that network. All right, with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for listening, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2020.